Hello everybody, this is the translation of Pascal Girard's message for Sunday the 14th of November. Sitting in a boat by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus tells several stories, most of them very short, in which he shows different aspects of the Kingdom of Heaven. With these stories, he shows us how the Church is developing and where she is going. We have already examined three of these short parables, the wheat overgrown with weeds, the Church's enduring tensions, the two parables on the treasure in the field and the pearl of great value. The Church is a place where one finds life. Each story emphasizes a particular aspect of the development of the Kingdom of Heaven. Each parable shows us an important aspect of the growth of the Church. Parables have one thing in common that connects them together. This is the gospel message, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and was resurrected. The gospel is the basic building block for the growth of the Church. The message of the gospel must permeate the world. Only then can the Church grow. The last parable of chapter 13 of the Gospel of Matthew is even more dramatic in its details than those which precede it. In this parable, we understand the consequences of rejecting the gospel. Once again, Jesus tells a story taken from the lives of his listeners. This time it's about fishing. Four of Jesus' disciples were fishermen: Peter, Andrew, James and John. And to Peter and Andrew, when they were called, Jesus even said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Matthew 4, verse 19. So today, it is a fishing trip. Let us first read what Jesus said in the parable of the net, Matthew 13, verses 47 to 50. "Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." You understand why I use the term dramatic about this parable. It directs our gaze to the last great act in the history of salvation, judgment. So the Church must be aware of the supreme importance of her task. Firstly, first come the fishers of men. In fact, the parable begins quite innocently. "Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. Throw a net in the water and pull it out slowly. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away." Nothing special to report in these sentences, nothing dramatic, of course. We all understand the story. It becomes more difficult when we now have to answer the question of who or with what Jesus wanted to compare these fishermen, this net, the sea, and all these fish. Who are the fish and who are the fishermen? Is every fish that is caught in this net a person who joins the Church? Are the fish the people who simply convert, even if they do not join the incorporated Church? Or, in other words, is the net with the fish an image of the Church? In this case, we should be able to explain why there are inedible fish in this net which must be discarded. Or did Jesus want to tell us that the Church is made up of people who follow Jesus and those who are not at all believers? Of course, Jesus knew that there were people who came to him, but whose hearts were far from him. Of course, the evangelist Matthew knew that there were people in the Church who did not really follow Jesus. Paul himself once said of these people that they were enemies of the cross of Christ. Remember this saying to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. "For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things." For Paul, it was clear that although these people came and went in the church, they did not belong to the body of Christ, because the body of Christ is not an institution. Paul always wanted people to fight for the purity of the church. For example, he wrote very directly to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13. God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked person from among you. It seems pretty clear to me that Jesus did not have the church in mind with this net. Rather, the net is an image for the proclamation of the gospel. The lake is an image for the world, as in the parable of the wheat and the tares, where the field represented the world. Jesus said with this parable, "Everyone in the world who hears the gospel is caught in this net. He can no longer pretend to be ignorant. He must make a decision and entrust his life to Jesus, or not." Paul says in his speech in Athens, in Acts chapter 13, verses 30 and 31, "In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead." This man is Jesus, and Jesus made himself known to the whole world. Everyone who has heard of Jesus has been caught in the net, and it is they who bear the responsibility for their behaviour towards the gospel. In Athens, when Paul proclaimed faith in God, his speech elicited different reactions. Some listeners burst out laughing. Others said, "We want to hear you again on this subject." Acts chapter 7, verse 32b. Regardless of their reaction, everyone who heard this talk from Paul fell into the net. To understand the implications, I will give you a dramatic example. If you witness a murder, with that knowledge comes a responsibility that you may not have wanted, but because you are a witness, you have that responsibility and you must report the murder. If you don't, you are complicit. The fish of all kinds that our parable speaks of are people of all nations, and because we are witnesses of the grace of God, the gospel must be preached to all people. Paul took on this task. He wrote, "I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish." Romans 1:14. Everyone, regardless of nation, social status, or level of education, needs to hear the gospel. The net is therefore filled with all kinds of fish. Fish that are indifferent to the gospel. Fish that fight the gospel. Fish that distort the gospel. Fish who use the gospel for their own benefit. Fish that accept the gospel, etc. Casting the net doesn't mean anything other than spreading the gospel message around the world. The net of which Jesus speaks is therefore still in the water. It hasn't been drawn yet. The angels are coming. When the net is full, the fishermen bring it in and sort the fish. Sick, dead, and inedible fish are discarded. The good ones are put in baskets, so they are kept. Jesus interprets this sorting process unequivocally. The moment the net is drawn is the end of the world, and the sorting of the fish is done by the angels. This is how it will be at the end of the world. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous. Fish are therefore human beings and are assigned different characteristics. They are no longer good or inedible fish, but righteous or bad people. Remarkably, it is not the wicked who will be separated from the good, but the wicked who will be separated from the righteous. Fortunately, it is, because no human being manages to be good on his own. Paul said it in these terms in Romans chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter how anyone lives or what they believe. No human being is good. That is why the wicked will not be separated from the good, but from the righteous. A person cannot be good, but he can become righteous, and a person becomes righteous. In other words, he is justified when he allows himself to be forgiven for his faults by the death of Christ. This is why Paul continues thus, "And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Verse 24. The righteous are therefore those who have accepted the gospel and received forgiveness. These are the people who recognized and confessed their faults. As John writes in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And he who is cleansed from all sin, who has been forgiven of his sins, is righteous in the sight of God. It's as simple as that. It is justice that counts before God. And at the end of the world, the only thing that matters is what is right in the sight of God. Paul once said, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Jesus makes us righteous. If this were not so, there would be nothing but inedible fish in this net. In order to make everyone understand the seriousness of the message on the kingdom of heaven, Jesus declares at the end of the parable in all clarity, this is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. An image that makes us shudder and that we prefer to ignore. Those who are called universalists who think that everyone without exception will be forgiven and saved at the end of the world obviously refuse this explanation, which is why I say that the image taken by Jesus makes us shudder and that often we prefer to ignore it. But Jesus shows us the urgency of the gospel, for if Jesus had not died for our sins, not a single person could escape this fiery furnace. Of course it's scary and uncomfortable, but this is the reality and you should never close your eyes to the reality. And because this is the case, the church is aware of the supreme importance of her task. It is indeed about saving people. This is why Jesus had left the glory of his Father. He knew we were lost and that our fate would be terrible if he did nothing. We can be truly grateful that the Creator is a God of love and compassion, and just all at the same time. Jesus made an unimaginable sacrifice for us so that in the end we would not be separated and rejected. Peter writes, he took our sins upon himself and carried them in his body on the cross, so that being dead to sin we might lead righteous lives. Yes, it was through his wounds that you were healed. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. In conclusion, the parable of the net cast into the lake is a very serious parable which indicates to us the urgency of the proclamation. Proclamation is the sharing of the gospel in all its forms. For this task, Paul was ready to bend in all directions and had probably dared to go further than we dared ourselves. He writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 to 23, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews I become like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Paul bends over backwards to save at least a few people. Paul understood the importance of the mission. Let's understand that too. Amen.